We turn to the Old Testament prophecy of Jeremiah tonight and read chapter 15. Jeremiah chapter 15. We'll read the entire chapter. The text for the sermon is verse 16 of this chapter. The word of God to us tonight is Jeremiah 15. Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. And it shall come to pass, if they say unto thee, whither shall we go forth? Then thou shalt tell them, thus saith the Lord, such as are for death to death, and such as are for the sword to the sword, and such as are for the famine to the famine, and such as are for the captivity to the captivity. And I will appoint over them four kinds, saith the Lord, the sword to slay, and the dogs to tear, and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy. And I will cause them to be removed into all kingdoms of the earth, because of Manasseh the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for that which he did in Jerusalem. For who shall have pity upon thee, O Jerusalem, or who shall bemoan thee? Or who shall go aside to ask how thou doest? Thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord. Thou art gone backward. Therefore will I stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee. I am weary with repenting. And I will fan them with a fan in the gates of the land. I will bereave them of children. I will destroy my people, since they return not from their ways. Their widows are increased to me above the sand of the seas. I have brought upon them against the mother of the young men a spoiler at noonday. I have caused him to fall upon it suddenly, and terrors upon the city. She that hath borne seven languisheth. She hath given up the ghost. Her son is gone down while it was yet day. She hath been ashamed and confounded, and the residue of them will I deliver to the sword before their enemies, saith the Lord. Woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury, yet every one of them doth curse me. The Lord said, verily it shall be well with thy remnant. Verily I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of evil and in the time of affliction. Shall iron break the northern iron and the steel? Thy substance and thy treasures will I give to the spoil without price, and that for all thy sins, even in all thy borders. And I will make thee to pass with thine enemies into a land which thou knowest not, for a fire is kindled in mine anger which shall burn upon you. O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me, and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thine hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar and as waters that fail? Therefore thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. And I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. and I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible." So far we read God's holy and inspired word. Let's read again verse 16, which is the text for the sermon tonight. Verse 16, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the text for the sermon this evening comes from one of the major prophets of the Old Testament, Jeremiah. Jeremiah prophesied at the end of the kingdom of Judah, and his prophecy spanned the beginning of the captivity in Babylon. Jeremiah prophesied, therefore, the word that was in the mouths of many of the prophets of the Old Testament. And that word was a call to repentance to Judah for the sins that they walked in, a call to turn unto Jehovah with a living faith, putting their trust in the promised Messiah for their salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come. And for their impenitence and their walking in the ways of sin, God wrought judgment upon the kingdom of Judah in the way of the captivity in Babylon. And in the beginning of Jeremiah chapter 15, which we read this evening, that was the main word of which we just read. One of the interesting things about the prophecy of Jeremiah is how much autobiographical material is found in it. And what I mean by that is that Jeremiah is filled with references to the personal life of Jeremiah himself as a prophet. And the text that we are considering this evening is a text that speaks to what was true of Jeremiah personally. The main word of our text was not the word of the prophet Jeremiah to the people of Judah. He didn't exhort the people, for example, to eat the word of God. The word of our text is a prayer that Jeremiah offered to God, in which prayer he makes this confession to God: "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." That personal word for the prophet Jeremiah is a good word for us to hear this evening, because it is a word that speaks to our relationship and life with God's Word. As I said in the comments to Tom right after his confession of faith, we are Christians. To be Christians are to be anointed ones, to be anointed with the Holy Spirit in the office of all believer as priests, kings, and prophets. And as we go forth as prophets, we are all our life long receiving the Word of God and speaking the Word of God. And it's good for us as believers on a semi-regular basis to hear sermons that speak to the life that we live in connection with God's Word. And certainly appropriate on the occasion of a confession of faith. How important it is, in light of the confessions of faith that we have made, to be busy in the Word of God, so that we can stand before God and pray to God and say with honesty, "O God, I have found thy word, and I did eat thy word, and that word which I did consume is the joy and rejoicing of my heart." My hope and prayer is that through this word, as it's preached tonight, for Tom specifically, but then obviously for all of us, that we would be renewed in our commitment every day and all our life long to consume and devour the Word of God. And that in doing that, we say, this is the effect. It is the joy and rejoicing of our hearts. I call your attention to this text under the theme, eating the Word of the Lord. Let's see in the first place the meaning of this. In the second place, the fruit or the effect of this. That's the joy and rejoicing of our heart. And then in the third place, let's see the reason. Eating the Word of the Lord. The meaning, the fruit, and the reason. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16 uses striking, vivid, memorable language. The text does not say, I read thy word. The text says, I did eat thy word. And that language has a way of sticking in our minds. This is vivid, memorable language that I hope sticks in our minds in this week to come as we have this as the food for our souls in this particular week. I did eat thy word. One of the reasons I was drawn to this text for tonight's sermon was in light of what we considered last week for our Heidelberg Catechism sermon on the preaching of the gospel. This isn't the only place in the scriptures where this type of language is used with respect to the Word of God. We had that last week in our Bible reading from Ezekiel chapter 2 and 3. With respect to Ezekiel, we read in Ezekiel 2 verse 8, But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open my mouth and eat that I give thee. And the reference there is not to physical food, obviously, but it goes on in chapter 3 at the beginning to say, Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then I did eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. The psalmists also speak in this way. Two of the outstanding psalms that have as their main idea the Word of God and the law of God are Psalm 19 and Psalm 119. Good way to remember that. 19 and then also 119. Well, in Psalm 19, what we read in verse 10 is this, Psalm 19, verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And what that's referring to is what is spoken of in the verses prior, verse 7, the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, verse 8, the statutes of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord. The Word of God, as we eat it, is sweetness, sweet like the honeycomb. And then that other psalm that has as its focus the law of God is Psalm 119. And we read in Psalm 119, verse 103, these words, How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to the mouth. The Word of God repeatedly uses the language of eating and consuming the Word of God. And that's where we start with an examination of that which Jeremiah ate. It's obvious. At the beginning he says, O Lord, thou knowest. He's addressing God in verse 15, and then he comes to verse 16. Thy words, referring to the Lord, were found. I did eat them, and thy word, the word of the Lord. Jeremiah is saying, I did eat God's word. For Jeremiah, that would have been, in the first place, the written word that was present at his time, the written word of the Old Testament scriptures, chiefly there the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. But in the second place, the word that Jeremiah would have eaten would be the word that God revealed to him directly as a prophet called by God himself. In the Old Testament, God called prophets, and he would reveal either by dreams or by visions or directly his word to the prophets. And having received that word directly through vision or dream or directly, they then would go before the people and speak that word which they received. And that's what likely the beginning of the text is a reference to. When Jeremiah says, "Thy word was found, and I did eat them." They were found in the way of God revealing that to him in the form of a vision or dream or directly as a prophet whom God called to speak that word to his people. This does not mean, of course, that this word doesn't have application to us, because it does. In the New Testament, we are prophets. And we receive the word of God. And there's a very clear application to us for what it means to eat the word of the Lord. God has given to us his word in the form of the 66 books of the Old and New Testaments. As we read them, and as that particular word is preached to us week after week in the house of God on the Lord's Day. Obviously, it's different for us today than it was for Prophet Jeremiah in the Old Testament. And that's why we need to be very careful in the way that we speak and very alert in how others speak. When, for example, the type of language that is used is, "God told me this." And then the following sentences are things that are altogether separated from the sacred scriptures. We need to be very careful in how we speak and alert when others speak to us in that way. God does not speak anymore by means of dreams and visions, and certainly not immediately to our own mind and heart, such that we say, "This is the inspired, infallible word of God to me." God speaks to us. His word to us is found in the scriptures, which he has inspired, which are infallible, which are inerrant, which scriptures are Genesis 1 through Revelation chapter 22. For us then to eat the word of the Lord very simply means that we consume in our lives those scriptures. In our everyday life as Christians, and as those scriptures are proclaimed to us week to week in the preaching of the gospel. The text draws our attention to the idea of eating. That's what makes it vivid. It's not just reading, meditating, thinking upon, remembering. Those are all other words that are used in the Bible to speak about our life in connection with the Word of God. But here, the particular word is that of eating. And it's even more vivid in the original Hebrew, where it literally is to devour the Word of the Lord. And so where do our minds go to in thinking about a text like this? Our minds go to, obviously, real physical food. We think about our consuming the word of the Lord in terms of our consuming actual physical food. Put in front of your mind's eye right now your favorite food, your favorite meal, your favorite dish. And what you do with that favorite meal as it's sitting before you on that table is you take that and you devour the food that is in front of you. And we can do that. I'm not endorsing, of course, overeating and overindulging. But God has given us the good gifts of this earth. He's given us taste buds. There are certain foods that we really enjoy to eat. And when they're setting before us with good, clean consciences, we can enjoy the good food that we enjoy and eat. And what God is saying to us in this text is thinking about that reality in our lives. Now, this is what it needs to be like and is like for the child of God in his or her life regarding the Scriptures. I devour the Word of God. And so we're faced with the question, is this our prayer? Jeremiah was praying to the Lord, and he was able to pray in honesty as he went to God in prayer and say, I found thy word and I did eat them. Are you able to say, am I able to say, I found thy word and I did eat and consume that word? And we need to be honest with ourselves here in this regard. On Sunday, I found thy word and I consumed it in the preaching of the gospel. Yes. But what about on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? Are we able on those days to make the prayer of Jeremiah on that particular day and say, I have found thy word in this day and I consumed that word such that it was on this day the joy and rejoicing of my heart? I hope and pray that the Word of God tonight is an encouragement to us to press on in that if that is present in our everyday life as Christians and to begin that. If there are those here tonight who do not, on a daily and regular basis, consume the Scriptures in their life. The application of what this means in our life is very simple. And it starts with the one that makes this prayer is one who is regularly and consistently reading and studying the sacred Scriptures. It's as simple as that. The way in which we consume and devour the Word of God is by setting our eyes upon the pages of that word, reading that word, thinking about that word, and meditating upon those Scriptures. That's how we consume and devour the Word of God. There's no other way to do it. Apart from, as I stated earlier, on the Lord's Day, as we sit under the preaching of that word from week to week. And so that's where it starts. The regular, consistent reading and thinking about and meditating upon the sacred Scriptures. And the one who makes this confession in prayer too, in the second place, is one who consumes the whole of the words of the Lord. Notice it's in the plural at the beginning of the text. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word, in the singular, was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. There are the words of the Lord in the plural, which is a unified whole made up of many, many parts. Those are the words, all of them, that we need to consume and devour in our life as Christians. Go back to the favorite meal. Let's imagine the favorite meal is a couple slices of deluxe pizza from your favorite pizza joint. And so there's that couple slices of deluxe pizza and you've got the crust and you've got the sauce and you've got the cheese and the pepperoni, sausage, mushroom, onion, and green pepper. Now how are you going to devour and consume that so that you say, this is what I'm indulging in. I'm really going to eat this because I really enjoy eating these couple of slices of pizza. What you're not going to do is, I think I'll pull a pepperoni over here and eat it. And then I'll take a little green pepper over here, pull off a little crust, dip it in a little cheese and sauce, and leave the rest of it just sitting there to look at and for someone else to eat. No. If you say, I'm going to consume and devour my favorite couple slices of pizza, you're going to take it, and you're going to take it all. And you're going to eat it all. Because that's the fullness of what it is, and what makes it what it is for the good food that you really enjoy. And the same thing is true with respect to the words of the Lord. That to consume and devour the words of the Lord is a consuming and a devouring of all of the words of the Lord. We don't just pick a pepperoni over here and a green pepper over there and a little sauce and a little cheese, which is to say, a verse right here, a verse right there, a verse over here, and a chapter over here. But over the course of time, and repeatedly throughout our lives, we are taking it all in and devouring it for the beautiful food that it is for our souls. That's what it means to devour the words, all of them, of the Lord. And so we're faced with the question, am I regularly and consistently eating the Scriptures, not just on Sunday, but on Monday through Saturday? And we're faced with the question that follows that, am I regularly and consistently, over a period of time, consuming the whole of the words of the Lord? I'm not sure if I've said this in connection with other passages or not. I possibly have, but I could not jog my memory such to remember if I have or not. But I say it again tonight, that when you really think about this, what this comes down to is not ability for most of us when things are normal. What this comes down to is the discipline in our lives to make this a regular part of our life as Christians. To read the Bible out loud in the pace that I read it, for example, before the sermon, cover to cover takes 72 hours. Which, broken down by 365 days per year, comes out to 12 minutes a day. 12 minutes a day. And I'm not saying that the way to do it is always to read the Bible in 1 year. You can dive deeper and read less and meditate more on a particular passage if that's the way you're doing it. And that's a wonderful way to do it, so that over the course of a few years, cover to cover. Or you could read more and you could take the bird's eye approach and see the big picture and really get the flow of the narrative of the Word of God so that you read more than that quickly. But the point is, whether or not you go that way for a time or that way for a time, when you look at the average for a year, 12 minutes a day, there's no excuse for the everyday Christian not to be regularly making their way through not just a pepperoni, sausage, green pepper, and a little cheese, verse, 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 chapter, but all of the revealed will of God in the sacred Scriptures. And we'll come in the second point and see in a little bit of why, when we're thinking the right way, this is what we want. We have sinful natures that love this world. We have the sinful natures that make our priorities all messed up in our lives. we have all of those things that we fight against in this regard, but I hope we'll get to the second point of the sermon and see and come to that end and say, with a resolve, I want to press on and continue in this, and I want to incorporate this more and more into my life as a believer. Because when you see what it takes to take in all of it, it's very reasonable. And though you can look at it all and say it's so much, you break it down and we can consume the whole of it on a regular basis. In this connection, I want to make comments about the importance of also reading other good, reformed, spiritual, edifying literature. Not as a supplement, or rather as a replacement of reading the Scriptures, but as an assistant to and a supplement to the reading of the Word of God. The fact is, we always want to be growing in this area in our lives. We always want to be more and more able to understand who God is as He's revealed in the Scriptures and the truth that we love so dearly. And that never takes place apart from the consistent sitting under the preaching and the consistent reading of the Scriptures. And now what I'm adding to that is also the reading of other good, spiritually edifying literature. Because what that does is it helps us be able to understand the Scriptures better when we read them. Go back to the figure of eating a meal. You can take that pizza and you can put it in your mouth and it's going to taste really, really good. Just putting it in your mouth and not really thinking about it and getting the whole together. But there's something about being able to pick out why it's so good. You taste the different flavors. You see how it all works together. You see the goodness of the ingredients. And it is put together in such a way that there's a better understanding of why it is what it is and why it is so very good. And that's what reading does. It helps us better understand that which we read in the Scriptures so that we see how it all fits together, how it all complements each other, how it all sets forth one great message of the glory of God in Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying here that we all need to be reading 60 books a year and delving into the deepest books that are out there. I'm saying read the Scriptures first to consume them, but always have something going that you work your way through to stimulate the mind, to help grow in the ability to consume the Scriptures in an edifying and effective way. Jeremiah said, I found thy word and I did eat it. We say tonight we have the word of God and we devour it. And this is the fruit of it according to what Jeremiah says in the text. It was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. He ate the word of God, and the result of that was that it was the joy and rejoicing of his heart. He emphasizes that. Notice that. And the way of emphasis in the text is by repeating basically the same thing. The joy of my heart and the rejoicing of my heart, saying this was the true great joy of my heart as I ate and consumed the word of God. What makes this particular word in this particular context so amazing is that Jeremiah said this when things from an outward point of view gave him no reason for joy and no reason to rejoice in his heart. I said at the very beginning of the sermon that God called Jeremiah to prophesy at the end of the kingdom of Judah and at the beginning of the captivity in Babylon. This was the time when the heavy hand of God's judgment was going to come upon His people in Judah. This was the time when He needed Jeremiah to go before a people and call them to repentance for the sins that they were walking in. And He did that knowing that He was going to be personally persecuted for what He was saying. And one of the fascinating things about the book of Jeremiah is that that is revealed to us in very graphic, vivid ways. We have that in our chapter that we read, the verse before our text. O Lord, Thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in Thy long suffering. Know that for Thy sake I have suffered rebuke. But yet then he says, I have devoured Thy word, and it is the joy and rejoicing of my heart. I'm not going to take the time tonight to read other passages, but there are other passages, both before and after this, in which Jeremiah talks about the personal afflictions that he experienced. They wanted nothing other than to kill Jeremiah, and he knew it. To the point later in Jeremiah, I believe 28, we read of him being thrown into prison for what he was doing as a prophet of God. But yet in the midst of that, Thy word I consumed, and it was the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Beloved, that is an astounding truth. That it doesn't matter what our earthly circumstances are. It doesn't matter what they were as they affect us in the present. It doesn't matter what they will be in the future. We all have times when we look about the past and we think about the present with the unknowns of the future. We all have those things in our lives which are reasons for sorrow and affliction. And you think about Tom's confession of faith tonight, his membership in the Church of Jesus Christ, our membership in the Church of Jesus Christ, the unknowns of the future of what it's going to be for us as members of the Church in Christ. Our outward life will give us no reason for joy, possibly, in the future. All sorrow, all misery, all pain, as it was for Jeremiah at this time. But yet, what could he say? What did he say? He said, I consumed your words. And that was the joy and rejoicing of our hearts. Beloved, that's where we find the source of our joy. That's where we look for our happiness in this life. We sang from Psalm 73 earlier in the sermon, or in the service, number 203. Psalm 73, Asaph, the prophet, or rather the psalmist, who was afflicted in his earthly life. And he saw those afflictions wrongly, and he had to be led to see that in the end, what was his life was to know the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord that said, I'm always blessing you. I'm always loving you. I'm always guiding you. I'm always directing you to the end when you will be brought to heaven. And such is what we are able to do as believers. As we go forth in our lives, that we can look at all times and say, no matter what it has been, no matter what it is right now, no matter what it will be in the future, this is the joy and rejoicing of my heart. I consume the words of God. Why it was the joy and rejoicing of Jeremiah's heart is twofold. Number one, on account of it simply being the words of the Lord. Jeremiah knew that he was consuming not man's words, but he was consuming God's words. And just the fact of knowing that this is God's words that I am eating right now gives reason for the rejoicing of one's heart. Think of two earthly relationships to illustrate this. The relationship of a husband and a wife. When things are well in that marriage, it doesn't even matter what one is talking about. Simply to be in the presence of your husband or wife and to hear their voice when things are well in that marriage is a reason for joy. It's a reason for joy. Because you love to hear the voice of your spouse. Or think about the relationship of a young child to mom and dad. They just need to hear mom or dad's voice. Then the heart is okay. Then the mind is at ease. Then all is well. And it's the same thing for us as Christians. Simply to know that it is God's voice that we hear kindles in our hearts the joy and rejoicing of those hearts. And that's where we need the help of God Himself to approach the devouring of God's Word from no other perspective than this. God is speaking to me right now. As a believer who's been given the gift of faith so that the eyes have been opened and the ears have been opened and the confession is made. What do you believe about the Bible? I believe the Bible is the holy, inspired, inerrant Word of God. Not a manual for Christian living, not a book filled with nuggets of wisdom. This is the Word of God. We need help to remember that every single time we open the covers of our Bibles. That when I, during the week, as a child of God given faith, open this Bible, God is speaking to me. The living, triune God of all things is speaking to me. We've made confession of faith as mature believers, which means we've made the confession that we learn in Essentials Catechism. This is what the Bible is, the holy, inspired, and inerrant Word of God. Well, that theology of Scripture leads to this reality in our lives. Yes, I believe that about the Bible, and what that means in the realest way possible is that when I read this, God is speaking to me. I can't emphasize it enough. I don't know how to emphasize it anymore. But that needs to be the way that we think. And I know for myself that it's not with that awe and reverence as it should be every single time we approach the reading of the Scriptures. But imagine when it is that. God's talking to me right now. This is the voice of God that's penetrating my heart and soul. And this is all under the main point right now, which is, why is it the joy and rejoicing of our hearts? It's because it's the voice of God that we hear. Who is not just the Lord of hosts who reigns over all, that's how He's identified in the text, but the Lord who is Jehovah, the Lord who is Father, the Lord who is Savior, the Lord God of Jesus Christ, who is our salvation. That's who's speaking to us when we read the sacred Scriptures. I said it's the joy and rejoicing of our hearts on account of two things. That in the first place, but then also this. This is what we're leading to. The fact that what we read gives us every reason for this to be the joy and rejoicing of our heart. One of the ways to look at what the Bible is that it's God's letter of love to His beloved bride, the church. The whole of God's Word is the declaration, this is who I am as God. I am the God who loves you, my bride, the church. Who loves you, my bride, the church, so much that I have sent Christ to die for you. To be raised for you, who is your life and who is your salvation. The whole of the Word of God, many words, many parts, but one unified whole, says that great message of love to us, His people. And if that doesn't spur in our hearts joy and delight, there's nothing that ever will, in the true sense of the word, in our life here on this earth. And so always we are reading the Word of God from the point of view of this is God speaking to me. And we're reading the Word of God from the point of view it is God's Word of salvation revealing Himself in Christ to me. Does the Word of God have all sorts of things in it? Yes. Does it talk about admonitions that penetrate our hearts and that hurt to hear? Yes. Does it talk about hell? Yes. Does it talk about heaven? Yes. Does it reveal Jesus in His life and ministry? Yes. Does it reveal all sorts of other stuff? Of course it does. But it's all a word that is joy and rejoicing in our hearts. Because even when it's over there, and it's a word that penetrates, that hurts. And that's why we need it all. Not just the verse, and chapter. But we need it all because we need those parts that hurt. It's still the joy and rejoicing of our hearts because what does it do? It brings us low, but it brings us to Christ. And it brings us to the God who says, in Christ, you're forgiven. And now go and walk in thanks for that forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Talks about hell, but it's joy. Because in Christ we know we're delivered from the judgments that we read of in the Scriptures. The point is, no matter what it is, it's the Word of God to us. And the main content always is reason for the joy of our hearts. The reason Jeremiah did this, according to the text, is found at the end when it says, "For I am called by Thy name, O Lord, God of hosts." He found God's Word and he did eat them. They were the joy of his heart. And he did that because he was called by the name of the Lord. This was a special call for Jeremiah, as we've said already. A special call in light of being a prophet of God. Is there a special application for those who are called to speak God's Word in an official capacity in the New Testament church? Yes. But is there a word of application to all of us? Yes as well. We are all called by God. We're all called by God unto salvation. We're all called by God to the office of all believer. We're all called by God to be prophets of Him. And that was Tom's confession tonight. That's our confession too. I am a prophet of God. So that the word here is true of us. Because God has done something to us. God has saved us in Jesus Christ. God has anointed us with the Spirit. God has made us, Tom, prophets in the Church of Jesus Christ, so that we say, as those who have been saved by God, I have found His Word. We have found His Word. And we eat that word. And it is the joy and rejoicing of our hearts. Apart from that, there is no first point and second point of the sermon. All sorts of people in the world today can read the Bible. All sorts of people in the world today could come to Granville Protestant Reformed Church and sit in the pew tonight. But they would not say, and they could not say, I have devoured that Word of God. And that Word of God is the joy and rejoicing of our heart. But we do say it tonight. Because God has called us. And God has saved us. And God has worked in us faith. And God has opened our eyes and He has opened our ears so that when we read the Scriptures, we say this, God is speaking to me. When we hear the preaching, we say this, Christ is speaking to me. And so I devour God's Word. And that Word, which is the Word of life, is the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Beloved Christians, may this word tonight affect us in such a way that we want to consume the Scriptures in our lives. That we want to be busy in the things of God's Word. I said at the beginning of the sermon, it's good for us to hear sermons like this on a semi-regular basis because of how important it is to be consistent in our lives with respect to the Word of God. Appropriate for a confession of faith, because think about that confession. Two questions at the beginning. What do you believe concerning the truth? It's taught here in this Christian church. How are you going to live? I'm going to live a new holy life. Those two things. Can they be present in the right way in the life of the believer without a busyness in the Word of God? And the answer to that is no. We need these reminders, these helps, these renewed convictions in our lives to make this, by the power of God worked in us, our prayer. We can say this tonight. Praise God that we can say this tonight. We can pray tonight. I have found Thy Word and I devoured it as I sat under the preaching of the Gospel today. It was the joy and rejoicing of our heart. I pray it was that tonight. I pray it was that this morning. I pray it is that every single Lord's Day. But let's say it on Monday night too. And Tuesday night. And Wednesday night, and Thursday night, and yes, Friday when things get busy and you go out, and Saturday as we prepare for the Sabbath. That this is what characterizes our lives. The consuming, the devouring of the Word of God. In such a way, and may God grant this fruit, that it truly is, even in the midst of the hardest of circumstances, past, present, or future to come. Always the joy and rejoicing of our hearts. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for this good word and reminder that we need. We pray that this may characterize the life of Tom, who confessed his faith tonight, and all of us as believers and Christians. Grant us this joy, even in the midst of the hardships of this life, such that we find it in Thee and the truth and the promises of that Gospel. Hear our prayer, Father, for Jesus' sake.